Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 3, Karma Yoga, text number 22. Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana Anavaptam Avaptavyam Part Eva Chakarmani Na Not, may, mine, partha, osanaprita, asti, there is, kartavyam, prescribed duty, trishu, in the three, lokeshu, planetary systems, kinchana, any, na, nothing. Avaptam, wanted. Avaptam, avaptavyam, to be gained. Parte, I am engaged. Eva, certainly. Cha, also. Karmani, in prescribed duty. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There is no, O Sanaprita, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I want of anything, nor do I have the need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. Purport. The Supreme Personality of God is described in the Vedic literature as follows. Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram Tam Devatanam Paramam Jadaivatam Patim Patinam Paramam Prarastad Vidama Devam Bhuvanesham Idyam Netasya Karyam Karnam Chavidite Netas Shamas Samas Chabyadikas Chidrishyate Parasha Shaktiri Vidaivashriyate Svabhaviki Gyana Balakriya Cha. Supreme Lord is the controller of all other controllers, and He is the greatest of all the diverse planetary leaders. Everyone is under His control. All living entities are delegated with particular power only by the Supreme Lord. They are not themselves supreme. They are not supreme themselves. He is also worshipable by all demigods, and He is the supreme director of all directors. Therefore, He is transcendental to all kinds of material leaders and controllers, and is worshipable by all. There is no one greater than Him. He is the supreme cause of all causes. He does not possess bodily form like that of an ordinary living entity. There is no difference between His body and His soul. He is absolute. All His senses are transcendental. Any one of His senses can perform the action of any other sense. Therefore, no one is greater than Him or equal to Him. His potencies are multifarious, and thus His deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. Shweta Svatara Upanishad 6:7-8. Since everything is in full opulence in the personality of Godhead and is existing in full truth, there is no duty for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to perform. One who must receive the results of his work as some designated duty, one who has nothing to achieve within the three planetary systems, certainly has no duty. And yet Lord Krishna is engaged on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as the leader of the Kshatriyas, because the Kshatriya is the duty-bound to give protection to the distressed. Although he is above all the regulations of the revealed scriptures, he does not do anything that violates the revealed scriptures. Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana Anavaptam Avaptavyam Varta Eva Chakarmini. O Sanaprita, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Nor am I want of anything, nor do I have the need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. So in the material world, there are two types of activities. are spiritual activities, and there's material activities. Material doesn't mean simply it's what we see around us is material, and spiritual is something which is amorphous or indescribable or beyond our senses. Actually, everything is spiritual because everything comes from Krishna, and Krishna is all spiritual. But it's a question of consciousness. When we see things in relationship to Krishna, then they're spiritual. And when we don't see things in relationship to Krishna, then we're said to be in material consciousness, of which there's three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Then in the mode of ignorance, we feel like we need something. And we're always lamenting. So generally speaking, the mode of ignorance is especially characterized by lamentation. And the mode of passion means that we think we hanker for something in the mode of passion. And the mode of goodness means we neither hanker nor lament, that we're satisfied with what we have. Now, anyone in the material world who's hankering and lamenting, they're captured by the material modes of nature, and they have to both suffer and enjoy the results of their work. Similarly, even when in the mode of goodness is working under the spell of the modes of nature, although the activities may elevate one, while the activities of ignorance, of passion, activities will keep one on the same platform, generally, and ignorant activities will bring one down to a lower state of consciousness. Now, for Krishna, because he owns everything, eternally, he has nothing to hanker for. Since he's the one who's arranging everything in the material world, why would he hanker for anything? He can arrange for whatever he wants. And since no one can take anything away from Krishna, therefore there's nothing for him to lament about. Generally speaking, in the material world, if someone can give us something, they become our friend. And if someone wants to take something away from us, they become our enemy. But for someone who has nothing to lose and nothing to gain, there is no friends or enemies in the material world. Now, for Krishna, since he has no friends and enemies, and since he has nothing to gain and he can't lose anything, why would he engage in prescribed duties? Generally, prescribed duties are there so that one will get the results of pious activity. Generally, prescribed duties are meant for sacrifice, and sacrifice produces results which was generally auspicious in the material world. Especially by the performance of sacrifice, Krishna says, anad bhavati bhutani parjana anasambhava jagnat bhavati parjanyo jagna karma samudbhavan karma brahmodbhavan vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavan tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam jagna pratishtitam. That all living entities subsist on food grains, so it's quite auspicious to get something to eat. Of course, in the Western world, we take it for granted we're supposed to have food. But not everyone has that fortune or that pious opportunity to actually get something to eat. And in the Western world, due to ignorance, sometimes people think they're getting something to eat, but it's something that even a tiger wouldn't even touch. Any respectable hog would put up his nose and turn away. This is worse than stool. Therefore, to actually be able to eat properly is quite fortunate in the material world. When Srila Prabhupada was at Tittenhurst, John Lennon's estate, John Lennon had invited the devotees to live at his estate, mainly so that they could help renovate the place. In any case, Trivikramaraj was glorifying John Lennon because he had like 300 million pounds which are a lot heavier than they are now. So Prabhupada said, well, what is the value of his riches? He doesn't know how to spend them. He had so much money, but if you don't know how to spend it, what's the value? If you can't spend your money, to at least get something good to eat, then what's the value of having so much money? If you're a multi-billionaire and you're eating a dead animal from the last war, then what is the value of all your money? It's useless. Similarly, if one is Krishna conscious and he performs sacrifice, then he gets rain and which produce food grain. And that food grain, if properly prepared, can actually sustain one in the material world. It's also the source of material happiness, strength, and satisfaction. So generally, sacrifice is meant to get rain at least. Because nowadays we even take the rain for granted. You just go outside, there's plenty of rain. But even that requires some piety. Maybe it's only raining around here near the temple, I don't know. But to get the right amount of rain at the right time, that's also required. Ati drishti, too much rain, and alpa drishti, not enough rain. Both of them are products of impious activities. In any case, although it appears quite complicated with Kshatriyas and Brahmins and Vaishyas and Shudras, but the whole idea was to perform sacrifice. And by sacrifice, the demigods were pleased, and they gave all the necessities, as Krishna says. Devam bhava yata dena, te deva bhavayantu va, parashparam bhavayantak, nityam jagna pratishti. Devam bhava yata dena, te deva bhavayantu va, parashparam bhavayantak, shreyam param vapshita. That the demigods being pleased by sacrifice will also please you, and thus nourishing one another, there will be general prosperity for all. So although sacrifice is actually aimed at Vishnu, still by sacrifice, through Vishnu, through the demigods, Vishnu provides all our necessities. And then one can actually think of the path of liberation. If one is overwhelmed by material problems, then it's very hard to actually think about the path of liberation. Then one simply thinks about how to get material necessities. But for Krishna and for Krishna's devotees, that Krishna, he shows the path of acting piously according to one's prescribed duty so that others will follow that path. Otherwise, there is no need for Krishna to act as a Kshatriya. Simply Krishna would will, and all the Kshatriyas on the battlefield Kurukshetra would have immediately left their bodies. Krishna doesn't have to act as a Kshatriya. But if he didn't, then everyone, as Krishna says, will follow his path, and therefore they become misdirected. But if Krishna does it, then so many other people will follow too. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. Therefore, Krishna sets the example and acts as a Kshatriya on the battlefield Kurukshetra, and he encourages Arjuna to do the same. Arjuna, he was fearing sinful reactions if he did his duty, act as a Kshatriya. He didn't want to kill his relatives. So he wanted to act as a Brahmin, non-violent. He thought that would be more auspicious, but Krishna told him that if you don't do your duty, then that's sinful. And even if you don't do your duty, all your relatives are going to die anyhow, because I've already determined that they're going to die on this battlefield. And therefore, not only they die anyhow, but you get the reactions of sinful activity by leaving, not doing your duty. So you won't win and you won't break even. But if you do your duty, they're going to die anyhow. But even if they die, then either they go back to the spiritual world or they go to the heavenly planets. So there's no loss. And even if you die, then either you go to the heavenly planets or you go back to Godhead. And if you stay here, then you can enjoy your kingdom, and you can be Krishna conscious too because you followed my instructions. Therefore, the conclusion is that one should find one of the two conclusions of Bhagavad Gita is that we should do what we're supposed to do and not do what someone else is supposed to do or what we're not supposed to do. We should find out what we're supposed to do, and we should do that, but we should do it in Krishna consciousness. That not only we should do what we're supposed to do, but we should acknowledge that everything here is Krishna's energy, meant for Krishna's service, and not become attached to the results of our work. Then I'm going to do this and get such and such reward. Because that's another form of illusion, because we can't really gain anything here. The only thing we can gain is freedom from our misconceptions and the development of spiritual knowledge, so we become Krishna conscious. That we can gain. Everything else is just an interchange of the three modes of material nature. We just change from one mode to the next, and we think we're making progress, or we think we're losing something. But actually, since we're all spirits, transcendental spirit souls, none of us have anything to do with material energy, except that we're just imagining that we do. And because of that imagination, we're entangled in this make-believe world of the three modes of nature, the endlessly changing three modes. But in this age, the sacrifice for the Sankirtan movement, which means simply dedicating our present activities for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pleasure, will actually get us out of this material dream, which is more like a nightmare, and wake us up to the reality, and then we can participate. And there, in that participation, there's only happiness and love and bliss forever, which is not a bad deal. Worth the effort. If people can live 2 weeks longer, they'll sacrifice all their energy. And yet, to live forever, people think, well, what's the big deal? Why should I work so hard just so I can live forever? And not only that, live forever in unlimited happiness, love, and bliss. Well, that doesn't sound very exciting, does it? So we're not willing to sacrifice something which is insignificant to obtain eternal happiness. Then what are we actually prepared to sacrifice for? What are we trying to gain? Someone can say our name when they read the Sankirtan newsletter. It's probably not comparable to going back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes. What was that? How many Pandavas? Five.
Five.
Five. Which one don't you like? Well, at least we know Arjuna, well, accompanies Krishna in the material world to the different universes. He travels with him because Krishna said he's with him when Krishna spoke to the sun god millions of years ago. But we also know that they appear in the spiritual world too. They have their service there. So in that case, obviously, and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, they even came. Bhavananda Roy, Ramananda Roy, was a partial incarnation of Arjuna. So I imagine we have to say there, since they're always with Krishna, they're nitya siddhas. Arjuna even has a gopi form. Arjuna gopi. No, spiritual bodies, they can expand themselves in different ways. Anything else? Yes. You need to give it to Ananda. He's, yeah. He'll give it back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned that what is called sacrifice chakra. So out of duty comes sacrifice. From that comes rain and etc. and grains. And we see in this modern world there is not much sacrifice done according to this formula, right? Yeah. The performing duties and that. How come that there is still rain and grains? What is their merit that in spite they don't do nothing, still they have some benefits?
They're living off their former bank accounts. To take birth in a civilized country, I mean something civilized, almost human, means that they must have done pious activities in their last lifetime. When they take birth, they have a certain amount of karma that they're eligible to live out, auspicious karma. And that when that runs out, then they leave their body and take an inauspicious birth. So people are just working off their past karma if they don't do any present pious karma.
So the situation in the history that this is happening, so it's actually just living on past karma. So this how is history, or then we can say that development, scientific development or civilization development is actually just
bad karma.
Bad karma.
Yeah, it's all bad karma. I mean, what scientific invention is really, just like these lights. Because all these lights, people's brains are wired. They can't sleep at night. So they think it's good karma, but actually it's bad karma. They stay up at night and they do all kinds of mischief. If the lights weren't there, they'd all have to go to sleep early and wake up early. Because of these lights, they're engaged in all kinds of mischievous activities all the time. So we think it's scientific advancement, but it's actually scientific degradation. The cars, just like in the 1900s, the beginning, the Ford Foundation put out propaganda that the horses are on the roads, they're passing stool everywhere and contaminating the roads. So everyone should buy a car to end the horse pollution. So now they've ended the horse pollution, and it's much worse. All these wars, getting oil and all the pollution from the refineries and from the cars and all the problems that come from this modern form of transportation. They think it's advancement, but how they've advanced? What have they done? Are they using it just to go to the temples?
Not everyone.
That's the only, you know, that's the what's the purpose. But they're utilizing it for all kinds of nonsense things. Previously, people would just go in the backyard and they pull out the vegetables. Now they got to travel 50 miles, 50 kilometers. Just get, you know, some carrots. So people think it's advancement, but actually it's not advancement. So when they hear about Krishna herding cows and eating vegetables, and you think, oh, how primitive. But actually, that's advancement. Fresh air, clean water, good food, nice relationships. That's actually advancement. This other thing is actually degradation. So when they say scientific advancement is actually science fiction advance. Science fiction. There's no real advancement. They've just invented ways of killing people quicker. Even their medicine decreases everyone's duration of life for the most part. Anything else? Yes.
If If you are self-realized and you have nothing to lose materially or to gain materially, then you are not duty-bound to no one and anymore. But still, you perform your duties if you are a natural leader to show with example. But what are other options for activities of self-realized person if he doesn't do that?
He can eat prasadam all day long. What else is he going to do? He can chant Hare Krishna. He'll engage in devotional service. He has that option. Or he can do some duty. So there were Babaji's in our culture. They simply heard and chanted about Krishna all day long. You don't think hearing and chanting about Krishna is an exchange with the Lord? That is the exchange with the Lord. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.